It was. All right, we are going to discuss, we're going to talk about Jacob this morning. God's covenant goes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And should be helpful, and there's some really complicated, I'll say really complicated verses that hopefully we get straightened out. Genesis chapter 25 is where we're going to start. Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and verse 19. Come on in, Nancy. Genesis 25, 19. So this is Jacob. Now the covenant goes from Abraham, like I said, Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob. And Jacob, his name will be changed to Israel, and Israel is the nation that you know even today. It's the same, all from the same man. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. Bible says, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. All right, let's stop there, and let's pray and deal with some of this stuff. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for justification in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help us this morning. I know it's earlier than normal, and it feels earlier than normal. And I pray that you'd just help us get through these verses and understand the things that you've laid out here. You've written these things down for instruction, and pray we'd get what we need out of it. For the teachers that are teaching in the back, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And Lord, I pray as we go into big church and all that, children's church and nursing homes and house to house and all the various things going on today, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit to help the folks that we're ministering to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there is two nations in the Lord's answer to Rebecca here is there's two nations in your womb. And Jacob and Esau are twins. And so the elder and younger is kind of, you know, by minutes or seconds maybe, I don't know. So, but the point in this, and this is the thing that Paul's going to bring out in Romans. If you can just step back and think and real and understand, when the Lord says what He says about the elder shall serve the younger, the younger is going to be stronger than the older one, and all that. The point the Lord is trying to make, it doesn't matter at that point who's elder and who's younger. We all think, because we look back and we say, well, he's going to bless Jacob, because we could see the end of it. At that point, it doesn't matter if Esau comes out first, or Esau comes out second, or Jacob comes out first, or Jacob comes out second. All the Lord is doing in that is saying, I'm going to eliminate all of the natural blessings that would flow to the firstborn. And the younger is going to be blessed so that God will be glorified in the younger man and his nation and his people. And so all the blessings will be very clearly coming from God, if that makes sense. All he's doing is eliminating the natural source of blessings. Does that make sense? Okay, so it doesn't matter. Like I said, we read into this and we say, well, he just picked Jacob out of the blue. No, he just picked the younger out of the blue. That's all he's saying is, I'm going to make sure that the blessings that the younger man gets are going to be blessings that are attributed to me. They're not going to be natural blessings. It's not the firstborn. So if you can just kind of wrap your mind around it, none of it is about the older is not going to be saved and the younger is going to be saved. In fact, let's just go up there and read it so you can see it. Romans chapter 9. Because you get the, you know, I don't know, John Calvin kind of made a mess of the whole thing, but it's easy to see it that way because we're on the other side of this. So we think God's just picking Jacob over Esau. God's not picking Jacob over Esau. He's just eliminating the natural line of blessings so that all the blessings and whatever the younger becomes, he will become because of God. And that's the point. He's just making everything that comes out of the younger son is going to be the blessings of God. The younger son's not more spiritual. The younger son's not better. The younger son's not more faithful at this time. He's just, God is going to highlight his own blessings by eliminating all the natural source of blessings. So here's how Paul explains this. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. And these are national blessings. This is about the nation here. Verse 10 says, Romans 9:10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So God's just going to highlight his own blessings in one man over another. It was said, verse 12, unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Not Jacob shall serve, or Esau shall serve Jacob. The elder shall serve the younger, which is not the correct order, not the natural order of things. But the Lord's going to make sure that now that there's twins here, God's work is going to be highlighted in one nation above another nation. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether Esau or Jacob come out first or second. It doesn't really matter. The point is God's going to highlight his own blessings in one man and one nation above another nation. So verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. All right, that comes afterwards. You'll see that in Malachi. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? So that would be the question. What if God picked one child over another to highlight his own blessings? Is God unrighteous to the other child? Is he being exclusive? And the answer is, yeah, he's absolutely being exclusive. Yeah, he's playing favorites to show his own blessings. That's the point. That's the point of the whole thing. And it's not about Jacob is saved and Esau is not saved. He's not picking people for salvation. He's not picking people for heaven or hell. He's picking a nation above another nation to say, in this nation, I'm going to be glorified, and it's not going to come from natural sources. It's going to be supernatural. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So if you're not careful, you read that and you think, salvation. God chose this one for salvation, and God chose this one for damnation. But that's not anything he's talking about. He's talking about national blessings and how God's going to use one nation over another nation. And in this nation that he's going to use, he is going to pour out his blessings, whether the men are good, evil, whatever. They're going to have the Spirit of God overseeing their nation. All right, so Paul explains it, and the point is these are nations. That's what he said in Genesis chapter 25. Two nations are in thy womb. So the nations, now this is about nations. This is not about, and you got to get this, this is not about individual salvation. This is not about Jacob gets eternal salvation and Esau gets rejected and damned to hell. That has nothing to do with this. Two nations are in thy womb. One nation I'm going to choose. I'm going to create out of that man the nation that I will reveal myself in. And to this day, you and I still hear about the nation of Israel. The nation is still a nation. And the nation is still a nation because God's, I guess you could say, eternal security is on that nation, for the nation anyway. But you don't know where, and I don't know where, and I wouldn't know who to pick out if you were to find the nation of Edom. I mean, we could say, well, it was over here in this area. Okay, but there is no nation of Edom. There is a nation of Israel, though. That's Jacob. That's the same man. And that's because God said, in this nation, I am going to shepherd, I'm going to oversee, I'm going to put blessings in this nation that no other nation has. And you could say, well, that's unfair. Well, God can do what he wants to with his blessings. And the point is, he's trying to highlight himself in a nation. Instead of, and the only way to do that is to exclude the other nations, to pour himself into this nation. So that's the point. You go back to Genesis chapter 25. Does that make sense? Are we okay? If y'all got questions, ask me, because I mean I think we're a small enough group here, we're not gonna get in trouble. But yeah, maybe not. So that's the source right there. All right, Genesis 25, with all that in mind, let's read verse 22 again. The children struggled together within her. She said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Nations. It's not about individuals, these are nations. Two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people. The elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. That was the deal. She doesn't have a sonogram or anything. It's just, I guess, more than normal. I don't know. And she wonders what's going on. And the Lord says, well, you've got twins. You don't just have one, you got two. That's what's going on. So that's the introduction here. And then we don't have to read the rest of the chapter. You get the idea about this. Jacob will come out second. He'll be the younger. Jacob isn't necessarily more righteous than Esau. In fact, the Lord, like you said, he said the elder is going to serve the younger, and the point of that is to highlight God's blessings and to eliminate any natural source of blessing. So the Lord eliminates the natural source of blessing, and he's going to pour himself into Jacob's family. And of all the families of the earth and of all the people of the earth, you're gonna now follow this one man and his family and all the souls that come from him, and you're gonna follow this people all for the next 39 books of the Bible. That's who you're going to watch, because that's who God's watching. All right, Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, verse 1. The Bible says, Genesis 28, 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee. So it passes on to Jacob now. And to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So all this, now this is the same title deed and the covenant that's being passed on from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Verse 5, and Isaac sent away Jacob. He went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. All right, so Jacob is going to receive the blessing. Then skip down to verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So the Lord shows up. Jacob's in the land. The Lord shows up in a dream to Jacob and said, I gave this land to your father, Abraham, Isaac, and now it's passing on to you. It's going to be your land. And verse 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread it abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So that's the nation that's going to produce the blessings that will be to all nations. That out of that man will come the blessings of God and will come Jesus Christ eventually, and the blessings to all the families of the earth. Verse 15, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillow, and poured oil upon the top of it, called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. All right, so this is confirmed covenant. Jacob is again, he's not necessarily more spiritual or anything at this point. He is the man that God has chose to pour his blessings into as far as nationally speaking. Out of Jacob is going to come the nation that's going to produce the blessings to all other nations. All right, go over to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 28. Genesis 32, 28. So as a nation, well, let me read this verse and then I'll tell you about Israel having, the nation has what you would call eternal security as a nation. The people doesn't mean individuals are all saved or anything, but it means the nation isn't going to go away. Genesis 32 and verse 28. After Jacob, this is him wrestling with the angel. Verse 28, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." All right, from then on, there's going to be another time he's going to mention this. But Jacob is Israel. So when you read about Israel, you're reading about Jacob. So Jacob and Israel, that's the same man. And Israel, Jacob, Israel produces tribes and a nation that you know, like I said today, as the nation of Israel, which is just Jacob. Because God said, "I'm going to take this man, and I'm going to make a nation out of him. I'm going to put my blessings in him above the elder, so we remove any natural source of blessings, so that everything the younger man has, everything the younger twin's going to get, is going to be a direct result of just God's blessing, so God can highlight his own blessings in this man." So Jacob will go on, and we don't have to read these verses. Out of Jacob, you're going to have 12 tribes. Those tribes, Jacob's going to serve Laban for a wife, for Rachel, but he's going to get tricked. Well, a trick, he's just going to get lied to, is what's going to happen. And so he serves Laban for 7 years, and when it comes time to have Rachel and get married with Rachel, Laban says, "No, we can't do it that way. It's not the custom. You have to marry the older one." And so he gives Jacob Leah. And out of Leah is going to come four tribes. Well, actually six. Leah is going to produce, Jacob and Leah are going to produce Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And then, we'll look over in Genesis chapter 29. Then you're going to have a sort of a similar thing like Abraham and Sarah had. Genesis 30. Look at Genesis 30. So after Jacob gets tricked or lied to about Rachel, he marries Leah. Then he says, "Well, I'm going to serve Laban I'll serve you another 7 years for Rachel." And Laban says, "Okay." So he serves another 7 years. And then he's allowed to marry Rachel. Well, Leah has four children at this point in time. And after Jacob and Rachel get married too. So Jacob's going to have several wives, and there's going to be several children produced out of all of these marriages. What I'm saying is, Jacob is not like some spiritual guy. He's already been told, though, that in you I'm going to produce a nation that will have my blessings. And so you got to make a distinction between, number one, individual salvation and national blessings, and the fact that God is going to use a nation to highlight his love for people. And in that nation may be obedient or disobedient, but still God's going to highlight what he wants to highlight out of them. And they may be obedient or disobedient, but God's going to use them for a purpose. All right, Genesis chapter 30. So after Jacob marries Rachel, now he's got Leah as a wife, which he wasn't expecting, but now he's got that. And then he's got Rachel as a wife now. Verse 1, Genesis 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." All right, have we heard this anywhere before? Okay. So Rachel says, "Take the maid and have children by the maid, and they'll be my children." So Jacob agrees, and Jacob has children by Bilhah, and by Bilhah he has Dan and Naphtali. So you got Leah has, at this point, four children. Then Jacob's going to have two more children by the maid, by Bilhah. And then, keep reading to, let's see, verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. So Rachel gives Jacob her maid. Then Leah stops having children. And then Leah decides to give Jacob her maid too. And so you're going to have 12 tribes by one father, but multiple mothers. Now that doesn't sound... That doesn't sound spiritual or anything, and because it's not spiritual. But the point is, God has already said, in this man, I am going to produce a nation that I'm going to use. For better or for worse, I'm going to use this nation. I'm going to use them. So now you've got six children by Leah total, is what you'll end up with. You're going to have two children by Bilhah. You're going to have two children by Zilpah. And then you're going to have two children. Rachel's only going to have two children. Well, trivia here. Does anyone know who Rachel's children actually are? Joseph and Benjamin. Those are Rachel's children. So Joseph and Benjamin are the youngest. They're the youngest. And here's the reason Joseph gets highlighted in Jacob's life is because Rachel was the first one he wanted to marry. Not the first one, he was the only one at first. He was the one he wanted to marry. And the first child produced by Jacob and Rachel was Joseph. And so Joseph gets some kind of special treatment and stuff like that. And that's why when you find out that Joseph gets sold off into slavery and all that, Jacob is just, he's beside himself. And then when he ends up running Egypt, one of the things that Jacob's put to the test is Benjamin. And so Joseph, as the second in command in Egypt, tells the other brothers, before they know who he is, remember when they go see Joseph, they go to Egypt for corn and all that stuff. They don't realize they're dealing with Joseph. Joseph asks them specifically, "Do you have another brother?" Because he's looking for his own blood brother, the one that is actually by the same mom. He's looking for Benjamin. Yeah. And so they say, "Yes, we have a younger brother, but if we bring our younger brother over here and dad loses Benjamin, he's lost everybody from Rachel. And he's gonna commit suicide or something. He'll be done with his life." And so they kind of have some trouble, you know, how are we gonna do this? But Joseph put him on the spot because he's like, he wants to make sure that when they sold him into slavery, they didn't get rid of Benjamin too. And so, you know, that's some of the dynamic when you read in Genesis later on. So all of that said, Jacob has 12 sons by four different moms. And as, you know, as spiritual as that sounds, that's God's going to use, he's already said, I am in this man, I'm going to produce a nation that I'm going to bless. And so he's going to use all these men, all of these nations, all of these tribes, all of these families, and use them, and you're going to follow them throughout the next, like I said, 39 books of the Bible here. Let's see here. Look over in Exodus chapter 1. We'll go there. Exodus So do you say, does Israel have special treatment as a nation? Absolutely, Israel has special treatment as a nation. That's why Israel is still a nation, and you couldn't find Edom on a map. You wouldn't know who Edomites are. Nations just rise and fall. There's one nation that's never going away, that's Israel. And that's because God has already said, this is the nation. This is the one that I'm going to be highlighted in. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel. That's Jacob. The children of Jacob, Israel, same thing. Which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. So here's the point of this. The Lord's, the Spirit of God is just overseeing this man, Jacob, and everyone he's produced. And just watching this man, Jacob, and he relates to him, and I mean, he talks to him periodically, stuff like that, but he's just observing and recording this man and what his family. Out of all of the hundreds of thousands of families and all of the maybe millions of families in the earth, God is watching this family. And he's watching them, and he's ministering to him, and he's guiding, and he's directing, and he's overseeing. But he's not doing that with every other family. He's doing that with Jacob's family. So let's keep reading. Verse 7. And the children of Israel, that's Jacob, same name, same guy. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So every time you read the children of Israel, you're reading the children of Jacob, or it's just Israel and Jacob. It's the same man. What was produced out of Jacob? Verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. All right, you skip down to chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now that's something he didn't have with any other nation. So the Spirit of God is following, is shepherding, is overseeing. He'll call him in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel are the apple of God's eye. This is the nation. These are the people God is delighted in, and he's going to be delighted in. And so here they are in Egypt. They are under cruel bondage and just slavery. And, you know, I guess contrary to the news media, slavery didn't start in America. This is Egypt. This is, I don't know, 1500 BC, and Israelites are slaves, and they cry out, and then God hears them. He's going to have respect unto them. He's going to send them a deliverer. And so the nation is going to be blessed by God in order so that all the nations will eventually be blessed by God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we'll look at this one, then run up to Malachi. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. That's where God's put his blessings. Jacob. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. No other nation had that. God watched this man. He said, "And there's two nations, and one's going to serve the other. The elder's going to serve the younger. The younger's going to be stronger than the elder." The point of all that was God would be with one of them. And so at that point, like I said, it didn't matter whether Esau came out first or last, or Jacob came out first or last. The point was God was going to be highlighted in one nation. Jacob happened to be the guy. So Jacob is the apple, his descendants, his families, his people. It's the apple of God's eye. And then not to be confused with, look at this. Look in Isaiah chapter 45. National blessings aren't the same as individual salvation or anything like that. Just real quick. Isaiah 45 and verse, verse 4. The Bible says, Isaiah 45, verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect. So there's election. It doesn't mean salvation. It doesn't mean individual chosen for hell or chosen for heaven. It's a national thing. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So God's going to be blessed in this nation whether they obey or disobey. But I throw that one in the mix because I don't know if you've dealt with it or not, but we dealt with it pretty thoroughly in here. But thing called Reformed theology, Calvinism, all that kind of stuff, it's pretty popular. Just says that God elects, and the election means he chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. That has nothing to do with what the Bible is talking about. In fact, I show you this verse to show you here are elect people who don't know God. So that's pretty complicated. How does Calvin get around that one? I mean, you got elect people who don't know God. So the point is, national blessings are one thing. Individual salvation, individual righteousness, that's another thing. All right, to highlight that or to explain that a little bit more, Romans chapter 9, and then try to wrap it up here. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Romans 9:6 says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Remember, Paul is concerned about his people, Israelites, because his people who are Israelites aren't saved. So there's a difference between being an Israelite, having national blessings, and then individuals who are going to hell in that nation. So he says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Now there you go. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And Paul's making an illustration that the flesh doesn't produce children of God. It did produce a nation God would bless. And the people of that nation thought, because they were of that nation, they were children of God, but they weren't children of God just because they were born of Jacob or Israelites. They just had national blessings that nobody else had. All right, let's see. I tell you what, we'll just stay in Romans where we're at. Because Romans 9, 10, 11, I'll explain this stuff. Back over here in Romans 9, verse 25. As he saith also in OC, which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, that's Isaiah, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So not all the children are the children. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. We'll just keep reading here. Verse 29, and as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and had been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? Here's the point. That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. That's what they've attained to. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So moving forward, obviously in Jacob's life, there's no law. Moses hasn't showed up yet. There's no law. After the law shows up, a lot of the Israelites are going to invest and use the law, or try to use the law, to establish their righteousness. And the point is that you can't establish righteousness by the law. You're not going to be able to establish individual righteousness by the law. You're not going to have righteousness sufficient to stand before God. You can't produce life in that. You're not going to be able to have eternal life. The law doesn't do those things. But Israel, a lot of the Israelites would think it did. It did. Verse 1, chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Wow, what? I thought they were. I mean, aren't they supposed to just automatically be saved? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the point. This is the whole point of the whole thing. And so all these verses we may use in soul winning, or whatever you want to call it, or dealing with folks, these are all verses Paul aimed at the Jews to say, this is where righteousness is. Yes, you have blessings. Yes, you came so close. You had so much advantage in this life. And then, I don't know. So there's that. I'll give you, I'll just read this one to you. So Hebrews chapter 11. Here's Jacob's faith. Jacob does actually express faith, and he does make the list of faithful here. In Hebrews 11, verse 21, the Bible says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." You say, what in the world is that about? He's dying and he's leaning on his staff, and what are we talking about here? When Jacob dies in Egypt. Joseph has two sons. He has Ephraim and Manasseh. And those two sons came from Joseph and his Egyptian wife. And Jacob understands that God has given him the promised land. But at this point in time when Jacob's dying, he's not there. And Joseph is still in charge of Egypt. And so they're all heavily embedded in Egypt at this point in time. But when Jacob is dying, he says to Ephraim and Manasseh, and he does the whole younger and elder thing and all that. That's something else. But he says, you guys are going back to the land. You aren't going to be here. God has given us that land, and eventually we are going to be uprooted out of this Egyptian nation, and we're headed back to the land. And so when Jacob is dying, he blesses Joseph's children, who are part Egyptian, part Israelite, and says, these boys are part of the promise. They're part of the blessing here. They're my grandchildren, and they are going to have an inheritance with the other boys. They're all going to have an inheritance. And so that's the expression of faith here. When Jacob's dying, he's not in the promised land. He's in a foreign country. And his declaration is, you guys are all, y'all are going back to the promised land. You aren't going to stay here. And these boys here that have been born in Egypt, they're going back to the promised land too. And they're going to have an inheritance there too. So that's Jacob. He is one of the most central figures in the entire Bible. I mean, this out of Jacob is going to, Jesus Christ will be produced according to the flesh anyway, and all the nations will be blessed. So let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time.